dream last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air. Come on.
This is a State of Trance podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Ruben Ronde and welcome to a brand new State of Trance podcast. Special guest today, all the way from Newcastle, flew in today. He did a guest mix on a State of Trance and it's the first time meeting him actually. Ben Hemsley, how are you doing?
Nice to meet you, first of all.
Yeah, likewise, likewise.
I am very good. Happy to be here. Feels like another one off the bucket list.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Did it feel like that?
I definitely, mate. I've watched it quite a lot when I was younger and obviously when I can now, I try and catch up with what's happening in trance.
Awesome. Well, yeah, once again, I'm happy that you're here. And a little short introduction from my side, how I got to know you, because I already told this on the State of Trance in the regular episode as well. Michael Pyron, the big boss of Armada Music. That's the building where we are right now. I think it was late last year, he was sent me a couple of tunes. He was like, Ruben, you have to check this. Ben Hemsley, new guy from the UK, unbelievable music. I was like, okay, well, if Michael sends me something, then it must be special, because that doesn't happen a lot, to be honest. And I was listening to it, and I was like, hey, this reminds me of the very early days of like Balearic Trance, 96, 97, 98, Space Brothers kind of things. And I was like, I didn't expect that it was a young guy that produced this music. So unbelievable that you create something like that. So that was my introduction to Ben Hemsley. Well, you told that you already knew a State of Trance a little bit, of course. Now I want to know from your side, why did you become a producer? Why did you become a DJ? What triggered you?
Well, I was actually in a band at first. I was really inspired by like Green Day and...
Really? Like, okay, that's like American totally
pop,
different.
Yeah, pop punk rock. But because my mom, when I was younger, as I mentioned before, had like always played trance in the car when we went on long drives and I always loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember the conversation, my first conversation about like how it was made was to my brother and mom when we were driving. I was like, how's this music made? Because I played guitar.
Yeah.
So I knew how music actually was like, how it worked.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, it's made on decks.
Like what?
They like decks. Because they didn't know either. So I was like, oh, right, well, I'll get a pair of decks. And I got like two like vinyl turntables and a mixer. I think they were like the worst. I'm like...
Like belt drive, yeah, no pitch or whatever. Yeah.
So I thought you could write original music on them. I didn't even know you needed vinyl.
Actually, I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have. When they see a DJ, they really think that they are making the music on the spot.
Yeah, but no, that's
not how it works.
No, that wasn't the case. And as much as I enjoyed it, I did, like, because I came from being in a band and playing guitar, I knew I had to compose it originally, so... I remember I got my first copy of FL Studio when I was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I say, I was inspired by Chicane, Tiesto, Armin, all the people like Cosmic Gate as well. So yeah, I started the first genre I started making was trance.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got like 15, 16, and you start to go out with your friends a bit more, like I started getting... Like I need to listening to what they were listening to. So I sort of drifted away from it and like I never went back to it till start of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because what got us like noticed in the UK was my tech house and housey techno sort of stuff. But then in lockdown, I felt like because I wasn't playing in clubs anymore, it gives us like the mind space to think, right, what do I really...
You were not forced anymore to play a certain sound or to make a certain sound.
So I was like, what do I really want to make and what makes me feel creative? And I feel like with trance, it's like, especially trance in the like era you want about like what people call the golden days, it didn't just have to be like trance and like melodic, like...
Everything stuff. Went. Yeah,
yeah,
everything
goes. You can completely control the crowd with trance. Like it can be like hard house, it can be really chill. And you can bring them up and down more than any of that genre I've found. So I think that's why I'm delving into this.
And you were like, okay, I'm onto something.
Yeah. And I think at first I was a bit like, oh no, I think this might actually stop us getting bookings.
Yeah.
But I played my first set at Creamfields and I played trance, like a lot of trance, and that set was a career changing moment for me. So it's because of the trance, because people were like, oh, actually, remember how good this
you
was.
You did a same kind of set as you did on the show with tracks like from the Space Brothers or from Signum.
I went a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was like quite chill. I was just basing that around the Raise Me, but yeah, Creamfields was heavier.
Yeah.
But it was like I'm trying to think of a track I played. Like, you know, the Spentless Steel, the Yomanda remix?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like stuff like that.
Like the big Manifesto releases of back in the days.
Oh, I loved all them.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought so many of those on vinyl lately. And then your first release, Caress Me, that was your first one, I guess. Mm. That was a little bit more housey still. That was before you drifted into the more Balearic sounds.
Yeah, that was actually made in, I think it was like the start of 2018. Mm-hmm. And then it came out in June 2019, which is my first release.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of touring before COVID.
Yeah. So that's one of the tunes that got you the gig on Creamfields, basically, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, definitely. I'm not going to lie, I don't like it anymore. Like, I've quite evolved quite a bit since then. But if it wasn't for that tune, I wouldn't have probably been noticed by anyone.
I think that's with every tune that you make. Yeah. Like, I had a question, actually. I was asking on social media, as like, submit questions to me. And then one of the questions was, if you could go back in time and remake one of your tunes and change it, which one would it be? And I was like, well, I wouldn't change anything because this is what created you, right? So you're saying that, Caress Me, that you don't really like it anymore, but it made you who you are right now.
I'll always have like an emotional attachment to it.
Yeah.
And like, I'll always appreciate like what people made of it, because it took us 30 minutes to write. and that's including the master.
No way,
like,
really?
30 minutes, I was just like, wait, I'll make this little da-da-da-da-da bass line. It was the cheapest, most simple bass line, but I think, you know what, the reason I released it is because I put it on Instagram, like on my stories. Bear in mind, I had no following. It was just one of my friends who was living in Ibiza at the time. He was like, I want to play this in this like little tiny bar in the West End in San Antonio. I want to play this tonight. Can you finish it? And I'd only spent 10 minutes on it. So I was like, right, I'll get a 20-minute structure up and master it. And then sent it out. And then all of a sudden, loads of people were asking for the name of it. And I was like...
Yeah, man, you're onto something there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good story.
And then I uploaded it to SoundCloud. And then within 2 months, I had 1 million.
Wow.
Like, on streams on SoundCloud. And then I had to remove it and it got signed.
That's crazy. What half an hour of work can do. Here I am working on music for some tunes and working 3 months on it or something.
Same here.
Yeah, but I guess sometimes like when inspiration hits you in the right way and you just come up with a brilliant melody, sometimes it's one of those moments, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome, man. And then what I've been listening to a lot lately was the Golden Buddha EP. Like that was... Typical tunes that I would play to when I'm working out or stuff like that. It's really weird because it's a nostalgia sound. It's reminds me of a little bit of this track, a little bit of that track. Was that one of the first EPs that was the pivot after in COVID that you changed your sound a little bit?
It was the first one to get released. I don't think it was the first made. I think when I first started making trance again, I'd like... Sorry.
All good.
I forgot about I think my melody's a little bit different to like trance now. Like I say, it was like the old type of trance, but I forgot how to do it. So if you heard my first attempt at coming back to trance, it didn't sound anything like that. It was awful.
So that's the Golden Buddha EP.
Yeah.
You say that's an attempt.
No.
Nice attempt.
No, I'm proud of Golden Buddha. I'm on about the ones that when I was trying to make Golden Buddha, I had the idea to do with this little trance EP, but there was like 10 tracks that didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Just awful.
But so it started out as an album and then it became like an EP.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it works like that.
20-second clips. Yeah. Of pure awfulness.
No, I'm pretty sure you're fine. But did you share those tunes, for example, on social medias, like the attempts or something like that?
Yeah, and that's when I realized people are liking this more than me, house and techno. I think subconsciously, sometimes you can hear when someone's enjoying making what they're making.
Mm-hmm.
there's even been like, there's a lot of music I've released in the past where I look back on now and I thought I never enjoyed making that.
Yeah.
I was never like listening to it.
Because you were in the mindset that you were playing your tech house shows every weekend and you thought you needed to make it for your sets basically.
Yeah. And not even that. It was just like, I need to make sure I keep getting bookings. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a stress I think any artist goes through when they first get the record signed.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I can relax a bit and I can, like I say, experiment, which I'm happy with. Like, I even want to do like down tempo stuff, like 100 BPM.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, no.
Well, like I said, I'm already comparing you a little bit with Chicane and just a modern way of producing that stuff like that. So I think chill out would be nice of you as well. But as long as you make those club bangers at the same time, also, that's we should not forget about those.
I think the Theo who wrote the lyrics of Erase Me said I should do a little chill out version.
Yeah.
Of it. I was thinking, yeah, that's actually a good idea. It would suit it well.
Yeah, well, the idea born here in the studio, ladies and
gentlemen. Really happy to write it down. I love him. I absolutely love him. I've been chatting with him lately as well. He's a very nice man.
Yeah.
He's given us some tips as well. Yeah, he's told us about all the old gear, like some of the old gear I used to have in the studio.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I just kicked my chair.
I think something broke here, but that's fine. Yeah, so in mainly, do you work, because you mentioned that right now, you said you work with Fruity Loops. We're going a little bit deeper into the nerd kind of stuff, because that's what we like to talk about here as well. Because the last two guests that we had in the studio here as well, Ahmed Helmi and Doppenberg, they had the exact same story that you just had. Like, I started out, I downloaded Fruity Loops, and that's where everything started. In the meantime, are you still only working with software, or are you also branching out with hardware?
No, like nearly, like not Erase Me. Erase Me was quite software based. Actually, I think there was a that's a Moog one, I think.
Okay.
But now I think every synth I'm doing, my drums are all software, but every synth I'm doing is coming from hardware.
I've got
a JP8080, a Moog one, Sub 37, Mother 32, the 303.
It's a nice little list.
And I've bought this, this is one of the ones Chicane told us to get. It was I can't remember, but it's an old Roland sampler, but it's actually stuck in customs.
It's somewhere.
So I have to pay £200 to get it out.
Oh no.
Yeah, because I bought it off Reverb and it came from America, so they kept it. I'm dying to get a hold of it as well.
I think that's also one of the secrets of your sound, that you're using the same utilities that these old guys were using.
Yeah,
like what you say, JP8080.
Even me sample packs though, like all the drums I'm doing are like from the sample packs the producers had back then.
Yeah,
like it's like before Vengeance,
like old CDs.
Yeah, like it's like I found this website. I don't know if I should say it, but someone's,
you can say it on air, off air. I would like to know.
Yeah, I'll send.
No, that's actually interesting. So and also when you go into the mind space creating this kind of music, there. Are you first listening to a lot of these old tracks and just get inspired, or is it something that just comes out of the memories that you had listening to the music with your mom back in the days?
You know what it is? A bit cringy, but sometimes I have like felt an emotion. I thought, I bet I can channel that into a song.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them, it's just, I want to make something that makes us feel like I'm in Ibiza.
Yeah.
Like Golden Buddha is my favorite place in Ibiza. Uh-huh. I think it's my favorite bar. So put how I felt when I'm in that bar into that song.
So that actually makes a lot of sense that you say that the beat is so important to you, because when you listen to your music, there's a lot of Spanish vocals in there.
It's all named Spanish as well,
yeah.
Mostly.
So tell us about your first experience with Ibiza, and because it made such an impact to you apparently that you basically fold your whole career around Ibiza, right?
Yeah. Well, my first experience is like, can't remember it. I went on holiday with my dad.
Must have been good.
But I was like 10 years old, but I can't remember that. I can remember bits. But I think it was my mother and stepfather took us with my best friend, Jordan, who's my tour manager.
Okay,
now.
Yeah.
Took us when we're 16, but like when you're like 16 in England, you sort of start drinking.
Yeah.
So she would like, as long as we didn't take the mic,
which means
take it too far, she would let me go to the West End up and down to Ibiza. So that was my first memory. And I remember trying to get an amnesia for Cream.
Yeah.
And didn't get it.
You didn't manage.
This ID'd her straight away. Probably because we're about 2 stone and 2 foot as well.
Like, hi, I want to get in.
But yeah, that was my first memory. And then I went with my friends as a group the year after. And then I moved there for some other year after that.
Okay.
So I've spent a lot of time there over the years. And then my manager's been getting angry recently because every time I play there, I keep extending my trips.
You're like, Tuesday you have a show in Ibiza. Wednesday you have to come back. No, I'll stay another week.
It's not good luck. A week, it's like 2 days, but I think I keep missing flights and stuff. It's not even because I'm partying, it's just because I enjoy it so much. Like, I honestly just love the place. Like, but yeah, that's like my main inspiration for the obviously the Balearic sound.
Yeah, well, it is a fantastic place to be. Still, yeah, it has changed a lot though, to be honest, in the last few years.
San Antonio's, it's getting too like money orientated.
Yeah, but that's the whole island, I feel.
Yeah.
If you, I don't know if it's a bit too deep into this podcast, but when I compare my shows that I'm playing this year in Ibiza with the shows that I did 3-4 years ago, it's a massive difference.
Mate,
the crowd is different because you have to bring a lot of money to Ibiza to enjoy it.
Yeah, mate, there's not as many people going to clubs anymore because a lot of the clientele for Ibiza was 18-year-olds.
It's too expensive.
I mean, no one's got as much money as they had before.
No.
And the ticket prices are going up as well. It's mental. It's
$80 to go in and then 15 euros for a glass of water.
Mate, I seen a party that night, it was 100. 100 euro. It's like, that would never happen.
No, no. But you still enjoy playing there, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, I hope it will go back a little bit more. Like maybe it's like the cycles of music that it will eventually return or something like that. Let's hope for that, to be honest.
Yeah. Let's hope trance comes back. Hopefully.
Yeah, well, you're doing a good job because the funny thing is that I was doing a little bit of research before you came over. And for example, your new Beatport chart was called Trance Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption in there was, I'm bringing trance back.
Yeah.
And that's also something that Danny Howard is saying on BBC One in the UK. In the meantime, we are thinking it has never left.
No, but I don't think it's ever left.
But I think that you are actually bringing it back to a broader audience again.
Yeah. I'm not going to claim it, like, because I don't want to annoy any of the like hard trance heads or hard trance.
You're not at all.
Like, because everyone inspires us and that, like, like I say, sometimes if I'm lacking inspiration, I'll actually flick through a state of trance to get inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try and do it my own way. But it's like, it's not necessarily dead. It has never died. In the UK, it felt like it did.
Yeah.
I think Ireland are all right. But in England and Scotland, there's not as much as I want it to be.
Yeah.
Like, there's not as many trance events anymore. I want to change that.
When I saw that chart, I was like, yes. He's saying it because there's a lot of artists actually that produce more trancy kind of things, but they're just saying that it's either melodic house or it is techno or whatever.
Yeah,
but it is what it is.
Me, mate. It's like, I don't want to mention any names, so I'm not going to because some of them are friends, but there's people doing melodic techno.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you calling it that? It's trance.
Because they're afraid to call it trance.
Yeah, no, that's what I find annoying, and I want to be confident that I'm delving into that and I want to go.
I'm loving it, man. Well, I'm loving that you're doing it.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Yeah. Well, a few weeks ago, we played, of course, your new single, Erase Me. That was that's the first one that you're doing with Armana. That was also the first one that's being released that's on our radar, of course. And I think it's a brilliant track. What can you tell about the process that you made the tune?
Well, I think, like I said, that was actually one of the attempts. Like, you know, the attempts that was on
Golden
Butter, that was one of the attempts, and it was called Mi Encanta at first, which is Spanish for I can't remember. Like I literally can't remember what it's Spanish for because I can't speak Spanish. I just go on Google Translate all the time. But I think it means May Love.
Okay. Mi Encanta?
No, it doesn't. That's not, because it'd be Amor, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm lying.
It's something Spanish.
Yeah, it's something Spanish.
Isn't it something like... I adore or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Like yeah. But that was like a failed attempt. And I was like, that's not strong enough. And then I have this song called Baby Musica that I released with Stress Records.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And Theo Hutchcraft, you know, the songwriter, he sang Under Control in Calvin Harris's song.
Yeah.
He's like wrote a few things for Calvin. He had his own thing, massive thing going on. He's part of Hertz. And he messaged us, and he's like not far from Newcastle. So he's like, from TC that with Geordie, big up, I fully believe you're bringing trans back, and I would love to write some stuff with you. So I sent him this big list, and that one that didn't make the Golden Butter EP was Mi Encanta.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I want to write over that. And I was like, good luck, I don't like it.
It was an attempt.
Yeah, pass. But like, I like the da-da-da-da-da. But like the rest of the song, just I couldn't think of anything to fill it out, and I'd never thought someone would be able to write a vocal that would work around them, that because it's a weird rhythm.
Yeah, like
it's not like easy to like put a vocal over that. So yeah, he worked with this girl called Shanae, who's obviously the vocalist here now, and within like a day they'd wrote this, and I was like mind blown because it was so good and it just fitted so well, and I was like,
You're like, this attempt became good.
This attempt became one of my favorite things I've written. So yeah, I was buzzing with it, and then of course got it to use, and use were happy to release it. So that's another bucket list.
Yeah,
releasing a farm order. I've probably got a load of emails where I got rejected from back in the day.
I have that too, to be honest. I think my first demo that I sent to Armada was in 2004, 2005,
wow.
And I got rejected too. And I know it hurt my heart so bad. I still remember the day so vividly. And that's actually one of the points that I always bring up here in the podcast as well, because a lot of aspiring DJs are listening to this, or aspiring producers. And one of the things that's the hardest in your career is that get that first signing and how to deal with rejection. Mm. So what did you do when you got that email that the tunes got rejected?
Well, I got them from every label. I sent it I stopped sending for a bit after, like, not gonna lie, because I stopped believing in myself. So
yeah.
I don't have the best advice for that. Like, I was just making tunes just for the sake of making tunes by the end, but I always knew it would work out because I'd believe in the law of attraction.
Yeah.
So, I just got to stay positive and
just like, kept going.
Because that's all you can do, isn't it? And just enjoy the music for just being a creative and being like an artist. Like, you just got to enjoy that side and look past the rejection, because everyone gets rejected. I still get rejected now. I'm sure every other massive DJ above me gets rejected at some point.
Of course, yeah.
It just keeps happening, so we'll get used to it.
Get used to it, but in the end, I strongly believe this, as long as you keep on working really hard and believe in what you're doing, and even if you have your attempts that you have as well, that are just, you have to throw them in the bin straight away, you still have to believe in yourself.
Yeah,
that something would come across as well.
Yeah, it's like when you first start making music, like even that, it's like getting over that hurdle, because everything you make when you first start is awful, because no one's like, I know people say there's natural talent, but no one naturally knows how to use this.
No, because you need to know how to craft music, right?
Yeah, like even if you've got the best idea in your head when you first start, which is really unlikely in itself, if you have the best idea, learning to get that from your head takes years and years.
Yeah.
But enjoy the process, isn't it? You just got to enjoy it and you'll get better.
Enjoy making music.
And it will happen.
Yeah.
It literally will happen if you just put the
Well, if in. You also need a little bit of luck here and there.
Yeah, a little bit of luck.
But I think hard work is above, but that's with everything, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Now tell me, I was also mentioning the Beatport chart, because that's what really caught my attention. It's also stacked with really old school trends, like Space Brothers. They were here 2 or 3 months ago.
Got a lot of questions for them.
Yeah,
I have. Yeah.
So if you could ask them a question, what would it be? We can ask them, actually. Yeah.
I was gonna say, you know the. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. Spirit is shining.
Yeah. Like that lead. I was gonna say what it is, but I think I figured it out now. I think I might.
Oh, while you're asking, like, hey, this is how they made it.
Yeah, because I've got one now. I think it might be the 8080. But there's so many questions I'd want to ask. I just hope I get a conversation with them one day.
Like, they are the nicest dudes.
Yeah, I know, I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah,
James was saying.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if you say to them, well, let's turn this around. Like, out of all the classics, you played Shine, of course, in your guest mix. Which one is your favorite one of the Space Brothers that you would love to rework or remix? I would personally say Chakra, like Home or something like that. But they have so many.
Shine.
Shine, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, James is sitting here. James the Armada A&R sitting on our left. He just took a sip of water and he's like,
That's one of my mom's favorite songs. Like my mother's favorite songs. It's one of those. I'm sure she said something really morbid once, like, play this at my funeral.
Really?
I'm sure, yeah.
James, why don't you join us for a second? All right, James of Armada Music is joining us. Here's the microphone. There we go. Professional podcast. Yeah. So is this something that that you can work out for?
Yeah, we'd love to, yeah. I know the Space Brothers are really keen on people working their catalogue. It's their 25th anniversary this year. So yeah, let's see if we can make it happen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the idea has been born. Oh, let's make it happen. No pressure.
I'm ready for it.
Forgot to ask the manager also. So you know, he's sitting in the back. He's like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. All right, well, thank you so much for answering all these questions today. Massive congratulations on the Raise Me. I hope to hear a lot more music from you. And thank you for bringing your talent here on the show.
Oh, cheers, mate. Honestly, it's a privilege to be here. Thank you very much.
Awesome. And I hope to see you at Creamfields at least.
Yeah, hopefully we will.
Awesome. Well, next time we're going to have a new podcast. Garrett Emery and Cosmic Gate are going to be here. In the meantime, have a nice day and see you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. To check full episodes of A State of Trance for free, simply visit armandradio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.